stuff.
Amen. Well, I told Jake Inman he was going to be the one, but I like spontaneity. No, I wouldn't do that to him. I do want to say this. I appreciate, we have something very special here. Mike called me this week, Baldwin, and he was encouraging me and saying that a lot of places you go to, they don't do this. And it's the pattern. I didn't come up with something new. It's the New Testament pattern. I appreciate the fact we have five men that have surrendered to preach. They're at different levels of that. And in my personal opinion, in the years I've been in the ministry, they might struggle, but any one of them could go out there and do this. But they make our church all the more stronger being here. Because you see what it looks like when Joe's gone. You see what it looks like when Mike, and I always say Mike or Joe or whatever, their families strengthen this. Alicia's not here, and Michaela's visiting with them. And so I appreciate these men. And the days ahead don't look any easier. I'm not saying I've got this thing figured out, but it's difficult for me to do it some days. And I know it's going to be difficult for them. We have each other here. They have each other here. I've tried to create a bond between them. When they go somewhere else, they got to start that whole thing over again. Amen. And so I appreciate them. I appreciate what they do. We have Alicia's graduated college. She's going into schooling. Mike Baldwin had already graduated college. I think we did something small for him. Jake recently finished his bachelor's degree. Joe finished his associate's degree. He's going to continue on. Jake Inman has a lot of my characteristics in high school, not in college. The high school years, I got a standing ovation. Graduated 126th out of 127. But when I got saved and got into Bible college, I graduated second from the top. So see what salvation does, Jacob? And so, but pray for Jake. He's trying to balance four children, one on the way. And Kara, she's a handful, and trying to do college. He tries to do college in the basement, don't you? Not anymore. They took the basement over too? They what? They infiltrated the basement. All right. Well, praise the Lord. But I do appreciate these guys. Brother Jake's going to bring the message for us tonight. You pay attention. We have something very special here. I want these guys to, and I'll just say this, I'll throw it out there because I throw it out to other people. I really pray that God will use one of these men in the days to come here, or even a combination of all of them. You say, well, there's a lot of churches that need pastors out there. There sure are. So surrender. I think they strengthen this church. They strengthen it greatly. And when they leave, or if they leave, or whenever they leave, we'll lose that part of it. While they're here, we want to take full advantage of it. And I give them the opportunities as much as I can. I didn't get many opportunities when I was coming up. And these men get these opportunities, and I appreciate it. Amen. So, Brother Jacob, you come. Even though you don't have a degree, we trust you. All right? Right, Jacob? Do you trust him?
Yes.
Even without that gold seal?
Well, first I got a pastor took a drink out of my water, so I got.
No, you won't find any in there.
Seriously?
Yeah, the fridge is on the fridge. There's no hole. Huh? Lukewarm.
The Laodicean water bottle age. That's all right. You'll get that later. Well, if you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. You know, it is encouraging. I was going to say it's discouraging. Sometimes you look around on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night after a Sunday morning, and the numbers can be so much less than it was the morning, but then our choir comes down and that's half the church. So praise the Lord that our choir is of that stature now. But sometimes looking around, it can be discouraging. And I sat there and I looked around and I thought, you know, I remember a time, Sunday nights I wasn't in church. Wasn't in church Sunday morning either. Wasn't in church Wednesday night either. And that was not a good time in my life. And the reason I say that is because I don't quite understand why some can't seem to have enough desire to come and take advantage of it. There was a time when every Sunday night, at around this time or a little bit later, I'd be taking my 2 to 3-year-old daughter back home to her mom's house to then come back to a very lonely apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
21 years old, 20. And that was the outlook of my life. And I thought, this is it. Wow. This is what has come of my life. And then God led me here. So I guess the struggle and the discouragement sometimes is just trying to figure out why others don't want it when he's done so much for me, the least I could do. I'm trying to think of a verse I read this morning that he would never forsake us because he's faithful that promised. If he's faithful to me, then the least I could do is be faithful to him. And I'm not trying to beat up those that don't come. It can be a discouragement some days because he's that good. If we realize anything when we're at church, it ought to be that Jesus is still the answer and that he is everything. The stronger you become in your Christian life is because you start to understand that everything really is the Lord. Everything truly hinges upon it. And I just can't thank him enough. And I feel like he reminded me of that tonight to cause me to reflect on how good he's been to me, because he's been very gracious to me, and I appreciate it. Another thing I'm very thankful for tonight, and I will say this as well, I'm thankful that I have another opportunity to be up here. Every time I feel as though I don't deserve it, still just as nervous some as the first time I got up here. And I still have to work out a lot of the nerves some days. But I'm very thankful that I get the opportunity, and not just a opportunity. I was looking at my files on my phone. I have a file called Sermons Preached and Sermon Ideas. The Sermons Preached file has a nice little number down there, and it said 31. Now, I've only preached out once, so that means I've preached a message 30 times in Graham Road Baptist Church, because a man of God saw fit to pull men aside and invest in them. And I will be eternally grateful for it. My prayer, and I say this publicly so you can hold me accountable, I genuinely desire to be a trophy of grace for the Lord, because I'm a mess, and I was a mess. But I hope he can open up his closet of trophies, if I can put it that way. And mine's sitting right there. It'll probably be on the shelf labeled Train Wreck Express, and I'll be right next to Pastor Lovett. But it would be an honor and a privilege. Anyways, I could cry all night. Let's do what we came here for. Psalm chapter 37. Every time I come across this psalm, there's just something about it. Those long ones, I'll tell you what, there's so many things in there. I picked this long one because I don't actually have a message. I'm just hoping I can discover one as we read. Just kidding. Honestly, I do want to read tonight and just give a few devotional thoughts, maybe not so much in the form of a sermon as typical, but just some thoughts that hopefully can be a help to somebody. It's not going to be a full course meal tonight. As I sat down on the pew just a little bit ago, Kara pulls out one of those little applesauce pouches for Joanna, and she sucked that thing down in a couple minutes. So that's kind of what I want this to be like. We're just, right now, we're twisting the cap off, and you just got this little applesauce pouch, all right? And the faster you suck that thing down, the faster we'll be done. Amen? Anyways, all right. Psalm 37, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." We have a tendency sometimes to do that, don't we? We fret ourselves. Sure, there's plenty of things to be bothered and burdened by, and we should be, but very clearly the Lord says, do not fret thyself. And then he gives us those that we're not supposed to fret ourselves over, evildoers. And then certainly do not be envious against the workers of iniquity. He says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." And then we see again, rest in the Lord. It seems like everything is contingent upon one thing, and that is the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. As somebody that can testify and say, I'm not the most patient person. I can be extremely hasty sometimes. I am learning to just wait upon the Lord. And I'm sure he will show me many more ways than I need to grow in that area. And prayerfully he does. But he says, when wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Sometimes you just look around, and because of our human nature, you start to question, why is it that I strive to live righteously? I try to have a life conformed into the image of Christ, and it seems like I struggle so much more than so-and-so who doesn't know the Lord, and yet he seems to prosper. We ask the question, I'm sure everybody in here at some point in time has made the comparison of themselves to someone else that doesn't know the Lord and just asked why. Verse 8, he says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." What does that mean? Well, if you're meek tonight and you know the Lord, well then, you will inherit the earth and delight in the abundance of peace. There is so much in a Christian's life that we have to delight over, to rejoice over, to rest in, to have comfort in, to just have an abundance of excitement in. And yet so many times we don't. At the beginning of our services, Wesley jumps up and he's singing a hymn and running out. I thought he was about to do laps. And I'm thinking, that's the kind of excitement we need. I'm pretty sure he just had to go to the bathroom. But regardless, Miss Miller, let's start running some laps. I guess this isn't that kind of church, but irregardless, I could use some of that excitement myself. Because isn't God just that good? Look up the word abundant in the scriptures, and you will discover just one aspect of how good, abundantly good, the Lord is. Verse 12, he says, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation." And I love this verse. He says, "Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." Can you just picture that in your mind for a second? I don't know. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I'm trying to get a picture of it. And, you know, the arms of the wicked shall be broken. I don't know if he means literally. Is that a day that's going to take place? I don't know. I feel bad for that guy because that's not going to be very enjoyable. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So you start to see all these comparisons that he's making, and it's looking really, really, really good for us. But it's also looking really, really bad for those that don't know the Lord, those that will not inherit the earth, those that will be cut off. And so when we read this, it ought to give us something to say, man, you know what? I guess I don't have it as bad as I think I do. I guess when I start to look around at the world, what reason do I really have to fret? I don't. They're the ones that should be fretting. Oftentimes they're not. But we certainly should not be the ones that are. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. What a promise. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Sometimes it'd be helpful for you to just ask yourself, or rather ask the Lord, do you delight in my way? Is my way your way? Is it something that you take pleasure in? And are you the one actually ordering my steps? Or am I the one trying to come up with this whole thing myself? Proverbs says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. The decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis affect what will take place next week, what will take place next month, what will our life look like next year. The day-to-day, the path of our feet, if we don't take the time to ponder those things and figure out if that is what I continue to do, what is that going to establish in my life? What will that look like later down the line? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and so we have to make sure that our steps are ordered by the Lord. Verse 24, he says, though he fall, I take a lot of comfort in this verse. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil. Just one, yeah. Let me read that one again. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. One thing that I love to do, absolutely love to do, my favorite part of the day is when I wake up, I get my coffee, I sit down with my Bible, and I sit in my chair. It's in the corner of my living room, same spot every day. That's my place. And I sit there, and I call upon the mercy of God. And he reminds me, you didn't do so hot yesterday. But then he always offers mercy. He always offers grace because he doesn't want me to sit and wallow in my difficulties. He wants me to come to him and take advantage of the fact that he is a merciful God. He says, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. One reason I think that we're not getting as many people into Christianity in the church nowadays is because not enough righteous are speaking wisdom, and not enough of our tongues are talking of judgment. How will they ever know that they're going to need to be saved? How will they ever know of the judgment that's coming if we, as the righteous, are not the ones that are speaking of these things to them? The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I love that he's saying, you just wait and you'll see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He is. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. As always, Lord, I am so appreciative that I get to stand up here. And so I pray that in the few moments that we do have tonight, that you'd please bless the reading of your word, bless the preaching of your word, and just bless the hearing of your word, Lord, that it would fall on attentive hearts, Lord, and that hopefully, prayerfully, somebody has already just taken something from your scriptures, Lord, from what has already been read, and it has been a help to them. Of course, there's not a whole lot that I can really say tonight, Lord, apart from your word. And so I pray that you would utilize that as you always do, that it wouldn't return void, and that you'd please help somebody here tonight, Lord. I love you for who you are, for what you do, Lord. And I appreciate the grace and the mercy that you have bestowed upon me. And I just ask that you'd please use me tonight to be a blessing to somebody, Lord. I love you. I thank you. I ask that you'd please help us and touch us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The thought that I'm kind of going off of for our devotion, whatever you want to call it, tonight is from verse 39. It says, he is their strength in the time of trouble. Now, of course, this psalm begins by saying, fret not thyself because of evildoers. God is saying, do not worry about what is taking place around you. There is a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of evil. There is a lot of iniquity. And all kinds of horrible things are taking place around you, but I do not want you to fret yourself over that, because if you understand their end versus yours, then you have reason to rejoice. Now, like I said, that doesn't mean we should not be bothered and we shouldn't be burdened by that, but we shouldn't fret over it. We shouldn't worry to a point that it gets us out of service to God. I fully believe, just like many have said, I think we're close. I really do. But if anything, that encourages me to say, God, what is it then if you were to return tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, the next 50 years, what is it that you require of my life? Because the gospel still needs to get out, and there's people that still need to be reached, whether we have one night left or whether we have many nights left. I don't know. But it ought to encourage you to do more, not as our text said this morning, and as our pastor preached, be settled on your lees. Why is it that the church has reached a place of complacency and apathy, and there's so much lacking that nobody even gets excited anymore during a church service? I mean, we literally get to come and sit and enjoy an opportunity to receive wisdom and counsel and strength and power from the Word of God. And sometimes there's only one person sitting on the pew saying, right. Why is that the case? When we have an abundance and a wealth of everything God desires for us to have. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I look around and I get discouraged because I sit there and say, God, why is it that it seems like nobody wants to grow? Why is so much stagnancy taking place in the church? Thank you for whoever said that. Was that you, Wesley? Wesley's on fire tonight, doing laps, saying amen. I appreciate that. Take notes, everybody. Well, that made me lose my train of thought. I don't remember where I was at with that one. Anyways, the thought that I'm pulling this from, he says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And so I thought, Lord, how can I find strength in time of trouble? Because everything that this describes, do we not see that? Does it not cause us to fret sometimes? And so I sit here and say, okay, God, it seems like we might be in a time of trouble. And if he's going to return anytime soon, then we are certainly in a time of trouble. But my testimony as a believer must be one of strength in the Lord, not one that's fretting. I think a lot of the reason of why he says this is not just to comfort us because we look around and things bother us and we get upset over things. No, he's saying you need to have a better testimony than that because you are still the one that is providing the light for all of the ones that are still in trouble. And so I want to kind of preach on a thought of truths for the time of trouble. How can I find strength in the Lord during the time of trouble? And so if we can backtrack a little bit and go back to the beginning. Verse 1, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And then he gives a list of instructions. I love how the Bible gives you answers. Here's the problem. Now here's what I want you to do. And he gives a list of instructions, but I like to look at these as just simple truths that in a time of trouble, there's no reason that we can't be a people that finds strength. He says in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So I can find strength in the Lord during the time of trouble because he sustains me in my dwelling. When you look around and you see devastation sometimes and you start to question because prices are going up on everything, but you're not getting any pay raises at work, or maybe you lose your job, or whatever the case may be, you see a world of poverty and you see people in need, but yet because we know the Lord, his instruction to us is trust in the Lord. Just trust me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Isn't that the qualifier? I think sometimes you get people that say, "I'm just trusting God. I'm just trusting God." But then they do nothing to actually show that they're trusting God. You got to remember the second half of the verse. Trust in the Lord and do good. Because there's things that come with trusting God. It's not just as simple as saying, "I'm trusting the Lord." When I got laid off from my job and I'm sitting there saying, "I'm trusting the Lord," and then sit around and do nothing, not looking for a job, not trying to find ways to make any money, not even praying about it, then am I really trusting God? I got convicted because in that little season that I went through, I got extremely hasty and I got discouraged. But yet I told people I'm trusting in the Lord. And he says, "Were you though? Were you really trusting me?" In those moments where you're starting to get discouraged because it's been 3 days and you haven't found something yet. And I literally kicked myself because I'm sitting there thinking, "Wow, God, you're right. Boy, do I have a lot to learn." Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I can find strength in the Lord during the time of trouble because he sustains me in my dwelling. That's a promise. That is a wonderful piece of truth that ought to help us. We can know that we will always be provided for. It might not look the way you want it to look, but you will always be provided for. Verse 4, he says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Not only does he sustain me in my dwelling, but he satisfies me in my desires. That's one verse I tried to meditate on a little bit as I was looking for a job. And I earnestly prayed for something. And I said, "God, I'm delighting myself in you. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And God, I'm bringing this need before you. This is what I desire." And I'm sitting there trying to think about this verse of scripture, and I'm going, "He's going to do it. He's going to give me exactly what I'm asking for." Because is that not what the verse says? "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And I prayed that, got some phone calls, and then none of it worked out the way that I thought it was going to be. My prayer did get answered. The answer was just no. And so then I said, "Okay." And then something else comes by, and God did answer the prayer. Because there was other desires that was sub-level to the one that I thought was it that God knew and understood. And I had to keep reminding myself, no matter what, God's going to do what he knows is best for me. And that's something I can trust in. So when you say you trust in the Lord, and you read a verse that says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, you have to know, I can trust God, because I might think I know what's good for me, I might think I know what's going to be best, but ultimately he's the one that knows what is actually best for you, and he's the one that sustains, and he is the one that satisfies. And I can stand here tonight and say what he provided was much better than what I had originally desired. But that ought to be something that people see. That ought to be the testimony. We ought to be able to say, you know what? God has never failed me. Every time I delight myself in him, every time I look to him, every time I trust him, he never fails me, but he always comes through. And we ought to be humble enough to say, when it didn't work out the way we wanted it to, that his way was ultimately better than ours. Verse 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. So not only will he sustain me in my dwelling, satisfy me in my desires, but God will secure me in my direction. And then moving on to verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. God will settle me in my disturbances. There will always be things that disturb you, and there will always be things to fret over. But if you go to the Lord with those things, then he is able to take what looks like this in your life and just settle it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When other people look at you during your day-to-day life, who can they see that you're thinking about? Who speaks into your life the most? Is it you or is it the Lord? I guess if we answer that question, the answer is you. You speak into your life more than anybody else. But everything still has to be taken to the Lord, and we have to listen to him. So he sustains me in my dwelling, satisfies me in my desires, secures me in my direction, settles me in my disturbances. These are all truths that we can take and say, I can find strength in a time of trouble because God says he will do these things. Each one is a promise that we can take. And what I want to do tonight, I just want to take one of these, because surely a whole series could be made out of all four of them. I just want to take one and briefly just take a quicker look, a deeper look, and see what we can get out of it tonight. Verses 5 through 6, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, remember, he is talking about the wicked will be cut down, they will not inherit the earth, but we will, the righteous will, the meek will, we will get to dwell in the land. So he's saying, you're in a time of trouble, but if you just wait patiently on the Lord and trust him, then he's going to bring it to pass. Everything that he said and everything that he's promised, he's going to bring it to pass. But all of that is still true for us today. And all of it, of course, is certainly true considering the fact that we are right on the edge of eternity. God will bring it to pass. So the trouble that you see and the stuff that we face, if we just wait patiently for him and commit our way unto him, trust in him, he will bring it to pass. So there's nothing for us to fret over. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. I said it already, but I can find strength in the Lord during the time of trouble because he secures me in my direction. But that is only true for us if we do three things. Number one, he secures me in my direction if I commit my way. Only if I commit my way. That word commit, in essence, means you're giving. I think one definition said to roll. And I'm sitting there thinking, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean to roll? But it says you're giving it to God. So when it says commit thy way, we're not just talking about be committed to church, be faithful to Sunday school, do all these things, come to visitation, be committed. What it's saying is you need to give up your plan and what you think is the right path, what you think is the right direction for your life, and commit it to the Lord. Take that and surrender it to God. That is the only way that we can be secured in our direction, is if we're actually going the direction that God wants us to go in. Otherwise, there is no security in that. Because you're just going to end up following after all the other things that everybody else is following after. See, the thing is when trouble comes, sometimes one of the greatest things that can lead you through the trouble is the fact that you have a direction. We have to know where we're going. We have to let the Bible teach us what we're supposed to be doing and the way that we go. That's why Proverbs is such a beneficial book, because it gives us wisdom for our daily lives. And it says, this is the way you don't want to go, but this is the way you do want to go. You want to hear instruction, you want to heed it, and you want to hide it in your heart. Keep the commandments of the Scriptures. Follow after the Lord in every circumstance. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That is a promise from the Bible that I don't think we place enough emphasis on. God will do that. It is something you can take back to Him and say, all right, Lord, you said you'd do it. So here I am. I need direction. I'm acknowledging you. But so much of our lives, it completely ignores God. You ask yourself, why does there seemingly, there's no growth anymore? Why is it that people don't want to come to church and then say, you know what? There's something about this place that seems like it would be profitable for me. I'm going to come not just for myself, but for my family, because I want my kids to be saved. And there's other people in my life that needs God. And not only that, what about the fact that I am held accountable to a thrice holy God who has an expectation for my life? And I say we because I'm in the same boat. I ask myself the same questions. What am I doing with my life? Why am I not redeeming the time? I waste so much some days, but we can't. He can only secure me in my direction if I commit my way, if I fully surrender what I think is right. Every man doeth that which is right in his own eyes. But that way is not going to prosper. It will only end poorly. He can only secure me in my direction if I commit my way. He can only secure me in my direction if I confide in his word. It says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. As I said before, and as the Scripture says, can't we get so hasty that we start trying to come up with the solutions to all of our problems ourselves, or we look to other people for the solutions to our problems, rather than just being patient and saying, God, I'm just trusting not in the idea of God, but I'm trusting in what your word actually says. And here's how you know you did that successfully. Because when it does come to pass, you can testify of it. And your life will be a testimony of God being faithful and answering the prayers. He can only secure me in my direction, and I can only find strength in that direction if I commit my way, if I confide in His word. And lastly this, if I continue my walk. The Bible says, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. There was a time in my walk with the Lord that I finally understood what that meant. And man, did it brighten my day. Because the Bible says in the Psalms, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But when the time of trouble came, if I didn't continue my walk, then I never would have discovered God's direction for my life. I never would have figured out that His word daily guides me, daily gives me direction, and helps me to stay devoted. We have such a tendency that when we face any bit of trouble, I guess this is what God wants for me, and I'm just going to give up here. I'm never going to move on past this point. I'm just going to stay stuck in this difficulty. I can't overcome it, even though the Bible says God's all powerful and that He can give me victory over these things. I guess I'm just going to stop here. And you might say, well, but if you're coming to church and if you're going to Sunday school and you're doing all these things, it means nothing. It means nothing. I look at people week after week after week, and I look at myself sometimes, and I say, why is there no growth in that area? Because we've decided that that's the one aspect of our life where we will not continue our walk. And you will hinder everything else that goes on in your Christianity, and you will as well hinder the church. And that ought not to be the case. I can only find strength in the fact that God secures me in my direction is if I commit my way unto His direction. If I confide in His word that gives me the direction. And if I continue my walk, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. That means God's guidance and direction for you will be so clear. It'll be like it's right in the middle of the day when the sun's shining down. You'll know what you need to do. God doesn't want us wandering around. God doesn't want us squandering for answers, trying to figure out what in the world we're supposed to do. He says if to seek wisdom as silver, those things that are simple and easier to get, seek that out. Follow it because it's visible. But then you're also supposed to search for gold because gold's harder to find, like it's hid treasure. Are we actually spending the time to do those things? But if you continue in your walk, then that stuff becomes easier over time. If you don't, then you're never going to get to cherish that and actually follow after everything that God has for you. And so I can find strength in the Lord during the time of trouble because He sustains me in my dwelling. He satisfies me in my desires. He secures me in my direction. He settles me in my disturbances. But most importantly, out of all of this, I desperately need God to secure me. It is so easy to get off track. So simple. You could fall tomorrow just like that. I need to be secured, especially in a time of trouble. It should not be the case for us that even when there's no trouble, we just get off track. I just don't feel like going to church tonight. I just don't feel like reading my Bible this morning. I just don't feel like walking with the Lord anymore. And yet there's nothing persecuting us. There's nothing holding us back. But yet that is the testimony some days. I don't know where you're at with any of these things, but my desire would be that you reflect upon them and ask yourselves the questions. Is your life and the way that you're going truly surrendered to God? Are you humble enough? Are you teachable enough? Are you reachable enough that He can actually say things to you and desire you to get on track with Him? Are you committing your way to the Lord? Are you confiding in His word? You say, well, how do I know I'm doing that successfully? The last time you had a real struggle, where did you go to find an answer for that struggle? Was it the scriptures? Are you confiding in His word? And are you continuing in your walk? Or are you painting over disobedience with perceived faithfulness? God will guide us. God will direct us. God will secure us in our direction if we simply trust Him. And we commit, we confide, and we continue walking with Him. Can that be said of your Christianity tonight? Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the help that is found therein, Lord. Thank You for each page that gives us direction and guidance. Help us, Lord, to be soldiers of the cross. Help us to stand boldly in the day and age that we live in, Lord. I'm afraid it is our testimony, Lord, and the lack thereof some days that hinders so many people from coming to You. And that's just sad, Lord. Please don't let that be the testimony of Graham Road Baptist Church, and please don't let that be the testimony of those that are here, Lord. I'd ask that You'd please touch us, help us, strengthen us, Lord, equip us, Father. We are here to be empowered by You, equipped by You, Lord. And just asking that You would fill us and help us to go out from here strengthened and ready to serve You another day. We look forward to Your coming, Father. And if there is anybody here that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, I pray that You would draw them and encourage them to simply believe what your word says of you, confess their sins, and come to you, Lord. Please help us as a church. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's